Hello and welcome to The Singer's Vault. I'm Artistic Director and Conductor Matthew Culleton. Episodes of The Singer's Vault brought to you in part by Kati Lowry and Lori Jacoby, as well as John Steinke from GS Investments. Well, I'm honored today to have the singer's composer in residence with us, Timothy Takash. Tim and I started our working relationship back in 2005, and Tim has finished 1 year now of being composer in residence. Tim, we're so excited to have you as our collaborator, and I'm thankful for your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me here. Great to talk with you.
Well, when I asked you what we might consider, I did include the very first piece that you wrote for us, and I think that's a good spot to start. It's a Christmas carol, and it was from the year 2005, 'Twas in the Moon of Wintertime. We've performed it a number of times and recorded it, but I thought it might be lovely to have you just tell us a little bit about this piece, and maybe even consider where it was in your own compositional life. Again, this was 15 years ago.
Yeah, in that era, you know, like 2003 through 2006 or so, I was just getting my feet wet in the sort of the commissioning world. You know, I had written quite a bit for Contus in my years and my days with that ensemble up until that point. And that was the majority of my experience writing for an ensemble. And so I feel like that was, I'd already done a composer in residence position. That was my first thing, you know, to be actually singing and in residence with Contus. And I had seen you work with Jocelyn Hagen, who wasn't at that time yet my wife, but we were certainly together.
Right.
And just envying her position with you being the singer in the group and being able to write for you guys and just seeing the really high quality of performances that you guys were giving and the hunger that you had for new music and putting new commissions and things on stage, which is really exciting. So I remember getting that call to write The Singer's A Christmas Carol. And I was just, you know, through the roof because it was one of those first asks that was beyond my Contus scope, you know, for other organizations. Yep. And I actually hadn't written that many mixed choir pieces at that point. You know, the majority had been for tenor and bass. So it was fun to explore that a little bit more. I think I had written, you know, maybe four or five pieces for mixed choir up until that point, but this is one of those early ones for me.
What was it that you were trying to bring to your setting of this carol?
I think it was really trying to capture the mood of the text and of the song. And there's something about this poetry and this text that is not in front of the fire with, you know, your favorite beverage. It's different. It feels more natural. It feels more exposed. The melody feels haunting, I think, just because of the mode that it's in.
Yeah, agree.
And so I want to just inhabit that for longer than just three stanzas of the same melody. And so it made sense to sort of open it with something and sort of put the listeners on the scene, as it were, before we start singing these words. And I can't remember if I knew at that point that at the end I wanted to do these two melodies at the same time for the last stanza.
Right.
Or if that came after I wrote this opening, but those two are linked together, thinking about this opening melody and the hymn tune that they went together. I might have written this melody over the top of the hymn tune just to make sure that they would work together.
Well, let's take a listen to the singers live in concert performing Tim Takash's 'Twas in the Moon of Wintertime.
Thank you.
Music of Tim Takash. That was "Twas in the Moon of Wintertime," performed by the Singers. And Tim, I want to jump 5 years forward now in your compositional life to a piece that you wrote for a conductor whose work I'm very familiar with, my twin brother Michael, and his choir, the Choral Arts Ensemble of Rochester. This piece strikes me as exciting in a different way than "Twas in the Moon of Wintertime." What strikes you in your memory about a worshiper and a man?
Well, I knew that I was trying to figure out what else I could do with choirs, playing around with texture. I knew I didn't want to fall into a trap of only being able to write slow, pretty music, you know. And I think that's, everybody loves that, and so it's easy to fall into that because it seems like conductors want it and audiences really want it. But I wanted to sort of try some new things and try something with a little bit more life and some more fervor to it. So, looking at this text from Stephen Crane that starts out, "The livid lightnings flashed in the clouds, the leaden thunders crashed." There's a lot of energy there. And I wanted to split this text in half and do half the piece with that energy, that pushing forward, and then contrast it at the end with something a little more slow and beautiful. And so I remember writing it and not quite having it work out half and half as far as how long it would take to do the fast stuff and the pretty stuff. The fast stuff is over, in a minute and a half or so. And then I spend the next three being slow and beautiful. So it was a step outside that box, but maybe not as far out as I would have hoped at the time.
But I think you really captured the shift in the poem too, which doesn't happen symmetrically half by half.
Sure. And I think that the pacing of the piece makes sense because what he's saying is he's thinking the truth is that in this other thing, the truth is found in the fact that the voice of God whispers. And right. So to spend more time on what that truth is makes more sense than splitting it in half.
Yeah, I agree. I have to ask you because you are, of course, a low bass. And this opening I always felt like Tim was writing autobiographically here a little bit in giving this low rumble to the bass section. I don't think it makes sense in any other voice part, though.
No, well, I think I knew the effect that I wanted, and I didn't want people to understand the words. And so that's why I had Anne Groton translate the first two lines of the text into Latin, because I didn't want the words to be important. And keeping those little half steps and whole steps down there, it's a muddy range for the basses to sing in. And so again, I wanted that the pitch definition to be a bit more obscure as they sing this line, where you're not quite sure what's going on down there, but you can feel it more than you can hear it.
Let's take a listen to Tim Takash's "A Worshipper and a Man."
Oh,
skipping ahead now. This is excerpts from Helios, which we premiered in May of 2019. And when I asked you to pick two movements, you picked Uranus and Saturn, two pieces that are remarkably different from one another. I think that Uranus is very stark, very lonely, dissonant solos, and you tack on a little bit of William Shakespeare at the end. Do you want to talk about the text or the general mood here that you've set up?
Yeah, certainly. The text is from Patricia Monahan, and I use a number of her poems in Helios throughout. It's a little less specific than a lot of the other movements. I mean, the other movements tell stories, they have characters, that, you know, they're more narrative for the most part. I think her texts in general are the exception to that rule, but this one, it felt more like a mood, and it felt less like a, here's where we are at the beginning, here's where we're at the end. And I liked that it felt it didn't feel as celebratory or as positive. It, to me, working with this text felt like I was describing depression or loneliness. And I, you know, when you're writing an hour long song cycle that explores the human condition, I think that that's an important thing to include.
All of your movements in Helios have subtitles. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine it's often the poem title given by the poet, but White Silences is so evocative to me. And it does conjure up that loneliness that I really think you captured beautifully. Tell me about the addition of the Shakespeare line from King Lear at the end.
Yeah, well, you know, when I was reaching the maybe the three-quarter point in finishing this whole piece, finishing Helios, I was really, really zeroing in on what the piece meant and how all these movements talked to each other and how they came together in a larger theme. And in thinking about Uranus as a piece that describes depression and loneliness, I think that Shakespeare quote really outlines it so well, where you're giving up. You're saying, I don't have control over what's happening to me. It's in the stars. And I think that's for all of us, we get to that point, don't we? Where you look around and you think, I'm doing my best, and it seems like there's something out there that is stopping me from moving forward, and I don't know what to do about it. And I think that's such a real emotion. I felt like adding that quote was just a way to hold the audience's hand a little bit, you know, and if they didn't get it from the poem, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it at the beginning. I'm going to say it at the end, just to let them know exactly how I feel about this.
I think that the Shakespeare text, it is the stars above us, govern our conditions, sets up the poem of Charles Anthony Silvestri that comes next so beautifully. And it does come next in the context of the cycle as well.
Right.
The movement Saturn, longing for infinity. This movement strikes me as almost totally different than any other text in Helios. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I really liked the text that Tony wrote for Saturn. I liked that it was autobiographical for him. For a lot of these movements, you know, we're projecting ourselves onto another story. We're hearing a story and we're saying, oh, this is how I fit into that, or this is how I could be that person. But for this movement, you know, he's saying, when I was 9 years old, and so you really get that personal connection right away. I liked thinking about this in an ABA form as far as the structure of the singers, using a trio in the beginning as a new sound. We wouldn't have heard that yet in right. the piece in Helios. So to have it be just three solo voices together makes it a bit more personal, makes it almost more like art song, like chamber music.
Yeah.
And then you're saving the sound of the choir to really crack open the heavens, because in this poem he's saying, seeing Saturn through a telescope is what brought me to love the heavens and the you know, the universe and whatever else is up there. And he describes it, right? The spinning planets,
yeah.
the burning stars, the galaxies. It's this list of things that can be up there and that are up there that he's just astounded by.
Tim, it strikes me too in the movement Saturn, longing for infinity, some popular music sounds emerge in that middle section. Intentional choice?
Yeah, you know, and that choice started with Earth, which I wrote before I wrote Saturn. And when I wrote Earth, it was an intentional choice to root some of the harmonies of the piece in more familiar chord progressions that we hear a lot of in popular music. Yeah. And I'm never ashamed to include elements of popular music in my writing for the concert stage. But this one felt more deliberate. As I was sort of falling into that trap, I realized it and embraced it and said, I'm going to choose to do this. It's not just
yeah.
phoning it in. I'm going to choose because it brings the sound home. And it's
yeah.
not something that's otherworldly or out there. It's something that we would have heard before. And so as I was writing Saturn, I thought, well, this is a great chance to do that again, because again, we're writing from this planet. We're writing from a human's perspective on this planet, looking out into the stars. So it felt like it made sense to bring back some of those same harmonies and progressions.
Thank you.
Tim, the last piece we've selected, again, is a multi-movement choral cycle that you wrote for our concerts in October of 2019. The cycle is called At Home, and it comes with a pretty significant and meaningful commission. Do you want to take a few moments and tell us about that?
Certainly, yeah. So this was a personal commission, which doesn't happen too often, but it makes it a fun experience to personalize a piece of music. And so Laurie Jacoby wanted to have a piece written to honor her husband's 70th birthday, Cotty Lowry. Laurie and I sat down to chat about Cotty and his life and their relationship together and their family. And I came across all these Wendell Berry poems that really felt like they fit what I was getting from them as far as their dynamic and who they were. One of the things that Laurie had asked for was a personal touch about homes, because Cotty is a realtor. And so using the third movement of this five movement piece as a chance to really bring, make it more of a personal touch to who Cotty is and who they are together. I remember Laurie asked for something funny about caring for homes You know how we put so much care and love into them and they're just falling apart and you got to keep at it. So I asked Julia Klatt Singer, who I've worked with a number of times, to write a poem about that. And I think she just nailed it, because it's this really delightful metaphor for an old home, sort of representing who we are as people too, as we age and try to care for ourselves and care for each other. And you just try to keep everything tip top shape. But as you fix one thing, another thing seems to fall apart.
The other movement that you've selected is the closing movement of At Home, called Together on the Porch. I think the most intimate, as relationships go, of the poems that you chose. And it's worth noting that in performance, in the movement prior to this, while they play, the flute and the clarinet processed away from the choir to the back of the church. And so the instruments sort of ring nostalgic when they're away from the voices.
So this Wendell Berry poem talks about a couple sitting together on the porch. It feels like they're empty nesters, because they talk about how there's only two plates now, two glasses.
Yeah.
So at one point there were more, but it's quiet. They're not speaking to each other, but they know they don't have to. Like you said, it's super intimate. And the choice to set this as a duet for a full choir came really early, and it felt right. And as I was writing it, it felt like it was going to be something special. And I think that's rare for me anyway. I don't know how other composers feel, but I feel like self-doubt just permeates so much of what I do I'm making these decisions every day. That to have something feel right all the way through the process was like a gift. I thought, gosh, I believe in this the whole way through. And so, you know, the choir is singing these two-part counterpoint lines throughout, and it feels really natural. The text setting to me feels really natural, and like you're just speaking it. There's no pretense of musicality that's sort of getting in the way. And there's one moment of four-part Divisi where they say goodnight to each other.
Yeah, it's a beautiful ending. Tim, I want to thank you for taking time today to talk about these pieces that have grown to mean a great deal to me and to the singers. Thanks so much for all you do for us.
You're so welcome. Thanks for asking to talk about them. It's rare for a composer to get this long of a chance to talk about their music and to try to dig a little bit deeper. And even though these pieces are done, I feel like I'm learning a little bit more about them as I go back and dig in.
This is Good Bones and Together on the Porch from Tim's cycle called At Home.
Oh.
You've been listening to music of Minnesota composer Timothy Takash in live performances by the Singers. To learn more about Tim and his outstanding work, visit his website at timothyctakash.com. A Worshipper and a Man was recorded in concert on April 13, 2013. The movements from Helios were recorded in concert on May 19, 2019. Excerpts from At Home were recorded on October 20th, 2019. To hear additional podcasts and learn all about the Singers, visit our website at singersmca.org. I'm Artistic Director and Conductor Matthew Culleton, hoping you'll continue to join me in exploring the Singers' Vault.